Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents More Than Cake by Tani Haynes, narrated by Kelsey Navarro. Part 1. Chapter 1. Meetings. So, MJ, did Maggie get you up to speed? Tell you everything you need to know? The girl who was speaking turned from the window of the studio as she spoke, taking a long pull from the Starbucks cup she held. The blinding sunshine of Los Angeles shone in all around, backlighting her, making it hard to see what she looked like. Not that MJ needed to see. Everyone knew what Meredith Renner looked like. She was surely the most famous 24-year-old in the world. Meredith stepped away from the window and took a seat at the conference table, setting her Starbucks cup down in front of her, and MJ could see her clearly again. Meredith shook her blonde hair back and smiled, showing her expertly capped teeth, her million-dollar smile. Her face seemed to have no pores at all, and even at this hour of the morning, her minimal makeup looked perfect. She was wearing expensive beachwear and a D&G cardigan thrown casually around her elegant shoulders to ward off the chill of the air conditioner. Must be nice. MJ sighed to herself and nodded again. Yeah. She sent me an email after I signed the papers, and I met with her yesterday, too, she assured Meredith. I don't think I'll have a problem doing everything you expect. Meredith smiled again, looking MJ up and down. No, I don't think so either, she agreed. My last PA was a tiny little thing, she added, shaking her head. I mean, I was stronger than she was, she gestured toward MJ. You, though, I don't think we're going to have a problem. MJ smiled. Feeling huge and ungainly, hardy as a bear. No, I don't think so. Good, Meredith said, nodding. Don't get me wrong, it's not like I have tons of heavy stuff or anything, but sometimes I have luggage or equipment that I want to keep with me and I don't want to send with the rest of my stuff, and I need someone I can trust to keep it safe. She wrinkled her nose in a little smile. Plus, I need someone who can keep my appointment straight, remember to pick up my cleaning, get me where I need to go, get the right drink at Starbucks. She gestured to the cup in front of her. Maggie thought you'd fit the bill. MJ nodded again. I don't think there will be a problem, and thanks for the opportunity, she added sincerely. Meredith waved a hand. Please, no need to thank me. If you can do all this shit, I'm grateful to have you. She stretched in her chair, showing MJ a bit of very toned tummy, a tanned and lithe form, along with long legs that were just gorgeous. God, I really need to get to the gym today, or at least do my yoga, Meredith murmured. I'm so tight, I can really feel it. She turned to MJ. You know how these things can really fall apart after just a few days away. And MJ, who would have happily cut off any body part if the remaining parts could look like Meredith's, nodded, trying to look sympathetic. Meredith sat up out of her luxurious stretch and faced MJ again. So give me your number and I'll send you mine, okay? Then I can send you what my drinks are, where I like to get my smoothies, all that good stuff. She looked expectantly at MJ, finger poised over her phone. MJ told her the number and Meredith entered it into her phone and sent her a test emoji, smiling when it went through. Great, she said with a grin. Now, you know I'm leaving to go on tour next week. With Heath Spencer. You have no problem with that. MJ shook her head. I graduated a couple months ago, she supplied. My father was really happy I got a job right away, so I'm good to go. She took another breath in anticipation of a question about where her mother was, but Meredith didn't ask. Instead, she merely nodded her head. Wonderful, she said, sucking the last of her drink out of the cup, rattling the ice cubes. Iced chai latte with extra foam, she told MJ, holding up the empty cup for emphasis. And I like one of these travel cups every time, okay? She looked expectantly at MJ, eyebrows raised. Aren't you going to write it down? It's not the only thing I drink, and I'm really particular about what I want. MJ pulled out her phone again, went to the note section, and dutifully typed it in. They won't do the extra foam if you don't ask for it special, Meredith continued. And sometimes, even if you ask, they'll try to get away with not doing it. She shook her head. You wouldn't believe how lazy some people can be. I mean, honestly, how hard is it? It's not like I'm willing to pay for it, you know? She shook her head again, looking at MJ, eyes wide, in a What's this world coming to? Look. We have a lot to get done between now and when the tour starts, Meredith went on. I have tons of stuff I need to buy, but the lists are back at my house, so you want to follow me? I live in the hills. At MJ's blank look, she added, I assume you drove here? Oh, MJ said. Maggie said I'd be starting on Monday. I have a few things I have to do today and tomorrow. I'm sorry. What? Meredith pursed her lips in irritation. Well, fuck. I'm sorry, MJ said again. She sighed. They're not things I can get out of, she trailed off uncertainly. Okay, I guess it can't be helped, Meredith said. She rolled her eyes. My stuff will just have to wait until Monday. I hope there's time to get it all done. She punched some numbers into her phone. I'm sending you my address. Just come to my house on Monday morning as soon as you can. And make sure no one gets their hands on your phone after today. MJ stood, shouldering her very expensive bag. MJ nodded, rising. The meeting seemed to be over. See you Monday, she said to Meredith. Meredith nodded and left the room with a wave. MJ waited for a couple minutes, so she wouldn't have the awkwardness of riding down in the same elevator with her after already saying goodbye. This was going to be an interesting year, she mused.
Meadow, so wonderful to see you.
Dad, no one calls me that, MJ murmured as she hugged her father and felt his arms come around her in a crushing grip.
Please,
he responded as he released her.
It's such a beautiful name, the name your lovely mother gave you. Why can't I use it if I want?
You can, I guess, MJ replied, giving a little eye roll as she smiled at her dad. Anastasios Yasimolada, or Tasos, as he's known to one and all, was a huge bear of a man, and it was obvious which parent MJ took after. From the abundant, dark, curly hair to the height, to the large brown eyes, MJ was her father's daughter all the way. Only her soft, pale complexion bore any physical resemblance to her much more delicate mother. But for MJ, it seemed far from delicate. It only brought the blotchiness that emerged when she blushed, which was often. She barely remembered her mother, who had died when she was 4. She did, however, remember coming home from school crying when she was in the 6th grade to confront her father. Why? She'd asked, tears streaming down her face. Why do I have this dumb name? Why did my mother name me Meadow? She threw herself down on her bed and wept stormily into her pillow. And it's not just Meadow, it's Meadow Rain, she wailed. Her father sat next to her on the bed, patting her shoulder, trying to comfort her.
What? He asked in confusion. Meadow Rain is a wonderful name, he told her.
But Daddy, look at me, she said, sitting up and gesturing to herself.
What? He asked again. You're beautiful.
I'm huge. I'm fat. I'm clumsy. I'm ugly, she nearly shouted into his face. I'm nothing like a meadow. I'm nothing like rain, she concluded, her voice getting soft and sad. She wiped her tears and sniffed.
No, Meadow. Don't say these things, please, her father begged. Your mother named you. You know this story.
And even though she did know the story, 12-year-old Meadow had leaned into her father and settled down to hear it again. Her mother, Fiona Gallagher, had moved from Ireland to Los Angeles as a teenager to make a new life for herself and had gotten a job as a waitress in a diner. She had dreams of being an actress, of making it big as a movie star, but had instead fallen in love with a second-generation Greek immigrant fry cook at the diner. Tasos had been a larger-than-life, funny and kind fellow, with a huge heart and laugh, as big and dark as she was pale and dainty. They were the ultimate odd couple, and they'd been deliriously happy during the time they had together. She'd missed her homeland, however, the cool green hills of Ireland, and she'd named what turned out to be her only child after the lovely landscape of her childhood. But Dad, I'm nothing like meadows and rain. She must have known that when she saw me. Meadow had moaned in agony when he finished telling her the story. Surely her mother must have seen what she looked like. that her daughter was huge and ungainly.
"Meadow," her father said, his voice gentle in her room, "your mother thought you were absolutely beautiful. Every day of her life that she was with you, up until God took her from us."
He dropped a kiss on his daughter's curly head.
"She thought you were the most beautiful thing that ever lived,"
he assured her,
"completely deserving of the name Meadow Rain."
All these thoughts flashed through MJ's head as she sat next to her now gray-haired father in their old family room in Santa Monica. She reflected that her childhood home somehow seemed smaller now that she'd spent 4 years living in the dorms of UCLA, an hour north in Westwood. Her father still kept the same old tired sofa, the same little television.
"Why would I get rid of them?" he asked rhetorically. "This sofa still holds up my butt just fine. Alex Trebek still looks good on that TV."
MJ knew he'd spend every cent he had to put her through school, and she was grateful.
"So, you got the job? The assistant job, I guess?"
he asked. MJ nodded.
"And it's what you want. It will help with your long-term plans."
She nodded again. "I think so, yes," she said.
"How?"
he asked, drawing his bushy eyebrows together skeptically. "Well, Meredith Renner is huge in the music business right now," MJ began. "Being her PA should open a lot of doors for me, and touring with her will teach me a lot of practical things. I think. I hope."
"Fetching her dry cleaning and bringing her donuts is going to teach you things,"
he asked, crossing his arms. "Dad, don't be difficult, please. Trust me, okay? This is a wonderful opportunity for me, and I'll have my guitar and laptop with me. I'll be writing all the time." He just looked at her and nodded.
"I do trust you, Meadow, I do," he finally said. "You're so smart and so talented. I know you can do anything you want. You're amazing. I know you're going to make me and your mother so proud."
"Thank you, Dad," MJ said, leaning in to hug her father. "I hope so." Chapter 2, Departures. MJ made sure she was up bright and early the day they left to begin the tour. It was a huge tour, and she had no idea how many people were actually involved. They were leaving from LAX and flying to Australia first, and then to Singapore, the rest of Southeast Asia and Japan, then across the UAE, Africa, and Europe. They'd cross the Atlantic and hit South America, then finally, after nearly 8 months, they'd return to North America. She reflected that she was actually very lucky that her father was so out of touch with pop culture and had no idea how big the tour actually was. Heath Spencer and Meredith Renner were global phenoms, and their joint tour had been advertised all over LA, with massive billboards and ads that took up the sides of entire buses. Her dad, however, didn't pay attention to much beyond the local news and the baseball scores. So all he told her the night before she left was to make sure she had clean underwear and to call him as often as she could. "I promise," she told him cheerfully. She successfully hid her fear of being on a plane for the first time in her life from her father.
"God, you're so beautiful," he proclaimed. "I wish your mama were alive to see you."
"Dad, stop," MJ begged, hugging him.
"Sorry, sorry,"
he said, kissing her cheeks.
"I'll be quiet. And I won't cry in the morning, I promise."
And he'd been as good as his word, merely waving as she'd set off for the bus that would take her to the airport. The first snafu of the trip occurred before they'd even boarded the flight. Something was wrong with their seats, it seemed. MJ and Meredith had been put in coach instead of first class. Sally, the tour manager, went up to the ticket counter at the boarding gate and argued with a flight officer for nearly half an hour, but nothing could be done. Meredith, who was standing next to MJ holding the handle of her designer carry-on luggage in one hand and her Starbucks in the other, was turning interesting shades of red. Finally, Sally came scurrying back to where MJ and Meredith were waiting.
"I'm sorry, love, there's nothing to be done," she began,
addressing her remarks to Meredith. Sally had an adorable accent, like Anna from Downton Abbey, MJ thought. She felt bad for her.
On the bright side, it's only for this first leg of the tour.
From Sydney on, it's all private charters, okay? I promise this is not going to happen again.
But the first leg's like 16 fucking hours long, isn't it?
Meredith retorted, nostrils flaring. There's no fucking way I'm sitting in fucking coach for all that fucking time, okay? She handed her Starbucks cup to MJ and crossed her arms.
We're going to be crammed together like fucking sardines.
Please, Meredith, don't make a scene, yeah? Sally pleaded. Nearly the whole flight's people's associated with the tour. You're going to be surrounded by people you know. It'll be grand, I promise.
If that's the case, then it shouldn't be a problem finding someone in first class to switch with me then, Meredith retorted. She turned away as if the matter were closed. Sally, too, turned away, as if hoping the walls of the terminal would provide inspiration. The rest of the people were silent, their embarrassment palpable.
Oh, for fuck's sake, she can have my seat.
Someone spoke up. Everyone parted in an effort to see the owner of the voice, and there were a few gasps as he rose, pulling his earbuds out as he did so. MJ's eyes widened as she laid eyes on Heath Spencer in the flesh for the first time. He was as good-looking as his photographs advertised. He was tall, even taller than she was, which was saying something, nearly to the point of lankiness. He had blue eyes and dark hair that had a tendency to curl when it got long, which could be why he kept it cut so short. He'd been part of a band until a few years ago, when they'd taken a break. MJ suspected, however, that the break was of a permanent nature, and that they were just calling it a break so that the young female hearts wouldn't be broken. She'd always considered him to have the best voice, to be the most talented. Not that she'd ever, ever be brave enough to tell him that. Ever. He was making his way through the musicians, the backup singers, the crew, the publicists, and other people who MJ didn't even know to stand next to Sally, a look of impatience on his face.
Oh God, Heath, no, you don't have to do that, Meredith protested with a smile, face palming, shaking her head, lovely blonde hair moving smoothly. I never, ever meant that you, of all people, had to give up your seat. No way, she looked around. There's gotta be someone else, right?
But no one else would meet her gaze, and MJ was embarrassed for her.
Come on, this is ridiculous, Meredith declared,
her voice getting a little strident. She turned to Sally.
Please, just pick someone.
But Sally was shaking her head. He's volunteered. I don't see any reason to spend any more time on this, honestly, she said. She turned to the ground attendant.
We're all sorted, I think. Let's board, please.
Heath just stood through all of this, completely relaxed, fiddling with his earbuds. A slight smile played about his mouth. Meredith finally gave up, though she looked as angry as before and ready to spit nails.
Thank you, Heath,
she said to Heath, who waved her words away with a smile.
If I need you during the flight, I'll text you, I guess,
Meredith said to MJ as they were walking down the walkway.
Oh, I'm sorry, but your seat, the first class seat you switched for, it's up at the very front, on the upper level, the flight attendant said. And her seat is at the very back on the lower level. She won't be able to get to you during the flight.
Great, that's just wonderful, Meredith responded.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, MJ said.
It's not your fault, Meredith told her. I'll manage.
MJ stood and watched Meredith climb the stairs to the upper level until Heath nudged her in the back with his suitcase.
Carry on, he said. Don't worry, she'll manage,
he repeated with a grin. MJ just gave him a look as she got moving. As the flight attendant had said, her seat was at the very back, in the front of the bulkhead. But they had very kindly left the middle seat empty, so she and Heath had three seats between the two of them.
It was very nice of you to switch with her, MJ volunteered as they stowed their luggage.
Heath shrugged as he closed the overhead bin.
Just wanted to get on the blasted plane already, he said.
He gestured toward the seats.
Window or aisle?
He asked.
Which do you prefer?
MJ asked.
No, I asked you first,
he chided.
Oh, Window, then, MJ decided, moving to take her seat. She hoped she wouldn't throw up in front of Heath Spencer. So they sat down and buckled themselves into their seats. MJ pulled out her current book, The Goldfinch, and settled down to read, to try to distract herself from the fact that she was on a big, scary airplane.
A person who reads actual books. How wonderful,
Heath said from next to her. She turned to him, embarrassed. Yeah, she said. I can't afford a Kindle, and my Uncle Yanni owns a used bookstore, and he gives me a 100% family discount. So who could say no to that, right? She smiled.
Heath smiled back. You know, I just realized we've never been introduced.
He held out his hand.
I'm Heath. Heath Michael Spencer.
MJ nearly laughed out loud, but managed not to. She nodded and held her hand out, hoping it wasn't sweaty. I'm MJ, she responded. She tried to pull her hand out of his and was surprised when he wouldn't release it.
No, now, wait a minute, you're cheating, he said, his smile growing. What's your actual name? Middle name and all.
Oh, okay. You asked for it. MJ took a deep breath. My name, middle name and all, is Meadow Rain Yasmalada. She shook his hand firmly and once again tried to pull her hand out, but again, he wouldn't release it. She knew it was getting sweaty by now, and around her the jet engine got louder as they prepared for takeoff.
You're joking.
His blue eyes were merry. I'm not, she shook her head. Look at me, I'm a Greek girl from head to toe. He finally released her hand, and MJ resisted the urge to wipe it on her leg.
But your first name, and your middle name.
He leaned closer so he could peer into her eyes.
Meadow Rain.
What about your name? She countered. Heath? I mean, our first names basically mean the same thing, don't they? He leaned back, eyes narrowing, nodding with a newfound respect.
Clever girl, he said.
The plane lurched forward as it accelerated for takeoff, and MJ gripped the arms of her seat, swallowing and closing her eyes.
Meadow, I mean MJ, are you okay?
She heard Heath ask. She was going to pretend, but she realized that even though he was Heath Spencer, she couldn't, and she just shook her head. It's my first time on a plane, she admitted, her voice defeated. She could feel nervous perspiration at her hairline and in her armpits, and she knew she looked even more awful than usual.
Oh, I'm sorry, she heard.
She felt him shift to the seat next to hers, and the next thing she knew, his arm was around her shoulder.
It's okay. Look, we're off the ground already, see?
And incredibly, she felt his forehead leaning against hers. Couldn't he feel how sweaty and gross she was? Didn't he care? And then she felt him grasping her moist, clammy hand in his own.
Look, MJ, look. Open your eyes, he encouraged.
She did, and she could see the buildings of Los Angeles glint in the morning sun out the tiny oval window.
See? No worries. Up, up and away. All the way to Australia. Safe as houses. Or however the saying goes,
Heath said with a laugh. He released her hand and took his arm away from her shoulder, but remained in the seat next to hers. MJ had never been this close to a boy before, let alone a world-famous rock star. She hoped she didn't smell bad. Chapter 3. Getting to Know You. The plane continued to climb for what felt like an inordinately long time. She tried to relax and to focus on the fact that she was sitting next to one of her idols, and one of the most beautiful examples of humanity on the planet. But it was so hard when she kept feeling herself pulled backward in her seat by gravity, and when she could see the water in her water bottle sloshing at unnatural angles as it sat in front of her. She knew that Heath had to be aware of her discomfort, especially when her glance kept getting pulled toward the frightening view out the window.
Don't you think?
He asked.
What?
She responded. She had no idea what he'd asked her. She could feel the sweat running down her back, and she really wanted to go to the bathroom to wash her face and reapply the deodorant she had in her bag. But that would require her to somehow climb over Heath, and there was no way she was going to do that. Between her concern over her hypohidrosis and the plane's imminent rapid descent into the Pacific, her head was spinning.
I asked if you thought these seats were built for a child's bum,
he repeated with a smile. MJ smiled at his words and his accent. She remembered that all of the guys in Heath's former band were considered very posh, and that he'd attended Harrow, a very expensive and exclusive school in London.
I mean, they're quite small, aren't they?
He continued. Well, I'm sure yours fits, but mine, MJ said in a self-deprecating voice, letting the sentence dangle. Heath just gave her a look before glancing away. He looked back after a moment, took a deep breath, and said, So, Meadow Rain. He raised his eyebrows at her. MJ just nodded. Heath continued to look at her expectantly.
Tell me how that name came to be attached to the surname of, Javelinopolis?
Normally, MJ didn't laugh out loud around others if she could help it. She knew she was loud, and she knew her teeth showed, and she didn't like to bray like a donkey in front of people. But she couldn't help it this time.
Javelinopolis?
She repeated, her fear of the plane plummeting into the ocean forgotten for the moment. She dissolved into laughter, unable to even draw breath.
Am I close?
Heath asked hopefully. MJ shook her head, wiping tears from her eyes.
Well, at least I got you to stop looking out the window like we were going to die at any moment, so I'll count that as a win,
he said, putting a hand on MJ's shoulder. She nodded agreement, able to breathe at last.
See? We're leveling off, so relax,
he reassured her.
So, your name?
Right, she agreed, nodding, wiping her eyes once more, acutely aware of his hand on her shoulder. My mother was from your neck of the woods, actually. She was from County Clare in Ireland, and after she moved to Los Angeles, she missed the green hills and cool weather, so she named me after her favorite places and things in Ireland. That's all, MJ smiled. She died when I was only 4, so I don't remember much about her. She could feel Heath's hand tighten on her shoulder.
Oh God, MJ, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I didn't mean to remind you of sad things, honestly.
He looked in her eyes, sorrow and contrition in his dark blue gaze. MJ shook her head. It's really okay, it is, she assured him. It's not like she was sick and suffered or anything. She was in a car accident. It was over in seconds. I only have really good memories of her. She was so beautiful. MJ's smile grew. She looked like a doll. Her hair was gold. Not even blonde, but like actual gold. That's how I remember it anyway. And her eyes were green, like the color of the ocean. Really, really clear. And she used to play the piano and the guitar, and she'd sing to me. And her voice was so pretty. She broke off, embarrassed. Sorry, she murmured. I get carried away sometimes.
Oh no, don't apologize,
Heath responded, shaking his head energetically.
Those are wonderful memories. Sounds like your mom was absolutely marvelous and simply gorgeous.
He took his hand off MJ's shoulder, and she missed its warmth.
I'm going to close my eyes for a bit, I guess,
Heath said, leaning back into his seat. MJ noticed he hadn't moved back into the aisle seat, but rather had stayed in the seat next to her. While he was sleeping, MJ took out her notebook and worked on her music, which always calmed her. As usual, when she wrote, everything around her fell away, and she was even able to forget the scary plane and the fact that she was somehow defying gravity and floating 30,000 feet above the surface of the earth.
You forgot the shop, Heath said from next to her.
MJ jumped, slamming her notebook closed. Her pencil flew from her hand, landing in the aisle.
Sorry, didn't mean to startle you,
he said with a smile. His voice was raspy with sleep. He leaned out, retrieved her pencil, and handed it to her, business end first.
You need to be careful with that, he admonished. Don't want to put someone's eye out.
He opened the notebook she'd closed, found the correct page, and pointed.
Like I was saying,
You're in G major, and you forgot that F is sharp. Here, he said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?